Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor is a...
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor. Survivor.
21 South Africans,
12 ordinary Australians,
16 New Zealanders,
Give them the swimmer.
1 million pounds,
million euro,
million
shekels,
1 million
rubles.
The adventure of a lifetime.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor All-Stars. I'm your host, Shannon Gus, here with another deep dive. We've done Dave, we got all of the prep and everything with Nick's game, and now we are getting some peak Shantent with a breakout character of her original season, truly a shining star in All-Stars itself. It is the great Shawnee Fairfax. Shawnee, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, oh, thanks for having me. I'm excited. I hope I can remember everything. It feels like it was so long ago now.
Yeah, I mean, it was long ago for you guys to record. The season wrapped up now like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, I mean, hopefully I can jog your memory and we can get some of those insights.
Yeah, perfecto.
Shawnee, you were such a star of the season. Shantent was one of the main events, I would say. And I want to get into your thought process going out there before you even went out there to get the call to be an all-star. Was it much of a decision in your mind to go back?
So I got the call. And first of all, I had a missed call from the executive producer. And I was thinking, this was just before the season four, we're about to fly out. And I was thinking, oh gosh, maybe someone's like broken their arm or something's happened and they need me to go on season four. So I was like, okay, I guess I'll do it. Anyway, I called her back and then she was like, no, they're all fine. But I want you to come on All Stars. So I was like instantly like, yes, oh my God, amazing. Sounds great. But then I started to think more about it and it really was bad timing for me. Like I had only been working my job for about a month. And I love my job. So I was thinking, how is my boss going to kind of take this news? Hey, do you mind if in like 4 months I take a couple months off? And then I think I was like, I came fourth last time and I was really proud of that game. So I was kind of worried like, oh God, am I, what happens if I go out there and then it doesn't go well? And then I'm going to like tarnish my experience, blah, blah, blah. And then there was a couple of things that I wanted. I don't know how much I'm allowed to say.
Okay. Well, we get it. There were some arrangements on the table. Played hardball.
Yeah, I almost put some arrangements on the table.
Mm-hmm.
But they already had my backup person ready to go. So they did not give me what I wanted. Ooh. But in the end, I just thought, I may as well give it a shot. I knew that I would watch it and then regret it if I didn't go on it.
There's no backup to you, Shawnee. Like, the show consistently underrates what you bring to the table. They didn't think that you were, like, completely essential to the season.
No, they had my backup ready to go, and that's why they would not budge. And in the end, I was like, oh, okay, whatever, I'll just do it.
That is completely savage that they were like, well, we can get someone else. And, like, they should know that they couldn't get someone else. There's only one Shawnee. Shawnee, you played, you know, such a good game your first time around and I think even elevated it in All-Stars. Did you do a lot of prep coming back?
So I used to go, I was thinking like, okay, I'm going to go serious. I'm going to start prepping. But I don't know, like I want to live my life, and me living my best life isn't me like going to the gym every day. It's me like going out for cocktails and out for dinner and hanging out with my friends. So I guess what I mostly did was just went to the pool with my friend every day, and I just used to like go to the sauna, and in the sauna I would play a game where it's like, how long can you stay in here for? And I guess it was just like getting mental strength where you're like, no, just because like you're not going to physically leave, your body don't get up, and then you can do it for longer. And then I used to doggy paddle in the pool, which actually ended up coming in really handy.
That is such specific prep that ended up coming in so, so usefully.
I guess at the time I wasn't really thinking like, oh, I'm going to do some doggy paddle prep. I was just doing it because it was fun. But my husband used to tell me like, Shawnee, you need to start doing freestyle. And I was like, oh, whatever, mate. And then, came in handy.
Mm-hmm. Were you in London at this time?
Yes, I was.
So you had to obviously come from London to Fiji to film.
Yeah, I was hell jet lagged and I was so angry because they told me that I would have a longer than I had last time to like get, you know, recover from my jet lag. And I was obviously don't have a clock, so I was trying to stay awake, but then I would fall asleep and then I'd wake up and I do not know what time it was, but I think it was probably like around 3 or 2 a.m. And I just remember being like, oh, my God, you guys suck. Like, you're making me start the show jet lagged. Like, couldn't I have just flown out a couple of days earlier?
Ugh. Well, because the only other person from overseas was Dave, and Dave would have come from Australia, or were there other people coming from international?
It was Dave. And Dave I wanted to fly to Australia, get over my jet lag, and then fly to Fiji, but they wouldn't let me do that. And then I was so annoyed when I found out that Dave was allowed to fly from New York to Australia and then to Fiji.
That's interesting. Getting the Dave Shawnee battle started early.
Yeah.
Being in London, obviously you played with a lot of people from season 3 who were, you know, in the season, but beyond the season 3 people, did you have many other connections from the other seasons?
I mean, I feel like I don't even really have many connections with season 3. The only people I speak to are Fenella and Benj. I did a podcast with Nick, so I already knew I liked him.
Yeah, I feel confident about what kind of pregame alliance we could have based on how good your relationship was with Nick after that deep dive. Now that we're doing this deep dive, I feel like we would be good to go.
We would be. Who else? Like, I used to talk to Flick sometimes on DMs. But I didn't really know that many people. Like, I guess because I live in London, so it's not like I'm like, oh, guys, come to Noosa, or like, oh, hey, I can hit up people when I'm in Sydney who were on the game. So, yeah, I feel like I definitely didn't know many.
Had you watched the other seasons?
So I didn't watch all of season 1 because I found it a little bit like snooze festy. Sorry, everyone.
Fair.
But it was the first season, so I definitely fast-forwarded through some of that. And then I watched as much of season 4 as I could. But we only got up to the first episode of Merge before we, you know, went into lockdown.
Yeah. In terms of season 3, you obviously had played quite heavily with Shane and Sean, who are on your tribe. Lydia is someone who's on your tribe that you were part of the vote out.
Mm-hmm.
Zach is on your tribe, and that's just even just getting started. Obviously, Matt Rogers is on the other tribe who you've played with to a degree, and Mo Hope, who you hadn't played with in season 3. So coming in, what were those connections like? Was there animosity? Was it neutral? Was anything positive there for you to get?
I literally, when I saw who was on my season from season 3, I felt so jibbed. I was like, great. Okay, Zach and I obviously didn't have the best relationship beforehand. Sean and I, she voted me out. I didn't vote for her to win. Shane, I felt fine with. Lydia, I only knew her for one day, but I kind of, you know, I never met her besides watching her on TV, and the whole like strength thing, like, people are mediocre, this game shouldn't have mediocre people, blah blah blah. I was like, okay, well, that's not going to go good for me because I am not an athlete. And then Matt, I was happy to see him because we have a good relationship. And then Mo, I never got to know her either.
Yeah, so as much as there were 7 season 3 people, these weren't like your best friends that they were bringing back, so that's a tough one.
I would have loved it if like Fen and Benj were there. Would have loved it if Benj was there just in general, and obviously Fenella was pregnant, so she was never gonna go. Yeah. But yeah, I definitely felt jibbed.
So with all of these issues being jet lagged, seeing who was on the cast, did you have any like particular concerns or fears going in, or anything that you were optimistic about?
When I got on the mat and I saw my tribe, I just thought like, oh my God, I'm so screwed. But then I got to camp and I chatted with Sean and I was like, you know, like no hard feelings, blah, blah, blah. We got each other back. It's fine. And then I started to feel like, you know, I don't think either of us really held on to a grudge because it was so long ago. And then I started to feel better about the whole situation.
So getting onto the beach, obviously you are there with Sean. What were those initial tribe dynamics like? Who did you feel a very instant positive connection with and an instant negative connection with?
I actually had a pretty good connection with Zach straight away because I knew that he's not really the type of person to hold a grudge either, and that we both just, I don't know. So we just went up to each other and were like, yeah, we had a laugh about it. And then obviously I was happy to see Nick on my tribe. I was happy to see Abby as well because I liked her and her season. Yeah.
Was there anyone you immediately clashed with?
No, there was like no clashing really. It was very like relaxed. It was kind of annoying because I wanted there to be people who are clashing so that you can just like, you know, help the person dig their grave and make it worse. But that really wasn't happening. It was very like a camping with friends situation.
What about someone like Michelle, who obviously goes home soon, but it seemed like you guys had a connection?
Oh, you know what? I actually completely forgot. It was so long ago. Yes, when I saw Michelle on my tribe, I was stoked because I was thinking, okay, good. She's obviously not going to be pitching like, oh yeah, strength, 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 blah, blah, blah. And we thought it was funny that like everyone was wearing their active clothes and we're like, hey, in our brunch dresses.
I feel like we were robbed of that duo. I feel like that would have been so fun to watch throughout the season.
I know. I feel robbed as well. If only I could turn back time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Shane vote is what's going to be the first vote. So what were the dynamics like? Like, how did that happen? You said you felt pretty good about Shane, but was it just like it was never going to happen for her?
I think Shane was just, our tribe was so, everyone was just being so nice to each other. So I feel like Shane was just an easy first vote because, you know, when we did that first challenge, she had to be at the end because she said it was too risky for her to get over the A-frames. So I was just kind of like, it's really boring, but I guess it's kind of someone saying like, there's things that I'm not going to do because it's putting her health first, which is fair enough. It's amazing to come do it twice. So I feel like that was just an easy way to kind of keep the whole tribe intact and on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, you had the relationship with her, but the other name being put out was Henry was putting out Harry's name. So how did you initially, you know, were you initially connecting with Harry? Obviously, that becomes a very important relationship.
Yeah, so I liked Harry in his season. I thought he was really funny and I just thought he was like sneaky and naughty. So I can't remember what day it was. Maybe like day two, I think, is when like I really spoke to Harry and we wanted to form an alliance with Harry, Henry, Nick and I. But obviously Henry pitching to do Harry instead of Shane, like I wanted to keep Harry.
Yeah. Did you have more of a relationship with Henry beyond that alliance?
No, I don't know Henry. I've never met Henry before. Actually, no, he did come to my finale in season three. But yeah, like Henry and I didn't have much of a relationship and I wanted Henry to be in a four with us, but yeah, he had other plans.
Well, you talked about your connection to Harry and then Nick individually. How did the Rascals form and become such a force in this pre-swap part of the game?
I guess because we're all like, I feel like for me, I already had the jury experience. I already came fourth in my last season. So when I decided to go on All Stars, I just thought, okay, look, you've already had the full experience. Why don't you just go out there? Like, don't do anything that people tell you to do. Do what you want to do. Be proud of the game that you're playing and have fun. And I mean, Harry and Nick are obviously very naughty and very fun. So that's what attracted me to them immediately. It was like, they're just going to laugh and be funny.
Yeah. Was there a power structure emerging after the Shane vote, or was it still just like Kumbaya tribe, or could you see some people starting to lead the dynamics?
I think it was definitely, I could see that Lydia, Abby, Lee and John were really close. And then I guess it was, yeah, they were like the main, strongest alliance I could see.
So what did you know in that first week when Henry is getting the idol, giving the idol over to Matt Rogers? Obviously, AK reveals that at Tribal Council, Nick has said that he kind of let everyone know. How much did you know about what was happening?
So Nick told me that Henry had an idol, but he forgot to tell me that he could only use it in the first three things. So when I found out that was like new information. But yeah, Nick told me basically straight away. I think like Henry told him that night, and then he told me the next morning.
So seeing as the vote obviously is going to bounce back now, like on Michelle, who you were tight with, but who's also tight with Henry, who's causing a headache for everyone. How did you feel about the fact that it was Michelle's name that was out there?
I really, really didn't want Michelle to go. And that's why I voted for Henry anyway, because I'm like, no, I'm not happy about this. But we wanted to kind of, because I had just like made relationships with Lydia and Sean, and I thought that by going with Henry and Michelle, then I'm kind of screwing over people that I know already. So I wanted to like minimize that damage. So that's why we had to go with Michelle. Well, I mean, I didn't vote for Michelle, but yeah. And I really wanted to keep Michelle even as like a buffer for myself, because I knew that like the tribe would soon probably start being like, oh, strength, blah, blah, blah. So I thought that it would be way better for my game if Michelle was there, because then there's another person that could potentially be on the chopping block along with me.
Obviously, the name that Henry's throwing out here is Sean, and you've said that you've like reconnected with Sean in a positive way. It's a very checkered path that you guys have, and then with Lydia on top of that. Did you have a lot of trust in that duo?
I knew that Lydia and Sean are like best friends outside of the game. I just like thought I don't want to screw over everyone right now when we can take off like Henry soon. And then just thinking, because I know that the tribe swap happened at 14 in season 4. So I thought like I wanted to cause as less problems that I could in that first 2 weeks.
Right. A couple of things are going to happen. One is good and one is bad. The first is that you don't see the idol under your sit-out bench in episode 4, which is unfortunate. You do end up finding it the next day. But what was that experience like, I assume, seeing it on TV and knowing that you missed that?
I didn't really care, to be honest, because I knew that I was going to find it the next day anyway. But if I hadn't have found it at the ice cream reward, then I would be so annoyed.
Yeah, I mean, just like the next day. It's funny because that idol was there for you and you didn't see it. And then the one you end up finding is like right by Henry's bag. It is under the well, which like you would think a big, strong guy would need to move. Like it definitely didn't feel like your idol, and that's the one you ended up finding.
I know. Well, the first idol could have been, because it was either going to be me or Sean sitting out. So I was like, thank God that I sat out and not Sean in the end. And then, because what if she found it? Then we probably wouldn't have had the one at the ice cream reward.
Yeah, if she had found it, yeah, there wouldn't have been another one hidden, so you wouldn't have got it.
Yeah. So I was like, thank God I sat out instead of Sean.
Yeah, that would have sucked. By not finding it, you gave yourself the ability to find the next one. So that's a good way of looking at it.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you find the clue, you get this idol. It's such an epic moment. Take us through that whole story from your perspective.
Okay, so we see the ice cream thing. Everyone's like running over. We're all like looking for an idol, and then we're pretty sure there's like basically nothing, because people aren't even trying to hide the fact that they're looking. Everyone's like kind of like shaking stuff, looking under things. People are like looking through every napkin, under like people are looking under plates for like to see if there's anything scribed on it. Anyway, and then I felt really sick because I just ate heaps of ice cream. So I was walking around looking for my water bottle. And I don't know if you saw like where everyone had their bags was right near the clue, and we never ever put our bags there ever. We normally just like put them on like near the shelter and then chill. But I guess because we're all in such a hurry, everyone dumped their bags and water bottles right next to this log. So I was like on my hands and knees trying to check like a million water bottles, trying to find my own. And then I just like looked up and I saw the scroll there. So I was like, oh my God. And I just quickly grabbed it and I was so excited.
Yeah, so in terms of then you have to go move the well. So what was that like?
So then I was like, okay, well, I need to put on my onesie because it has pockets.
Yes.
So I was just kind of like, oh, guys, I feel really sick from all that ice cream. I'm going to go to the well. And then I just went. And I guess it was pretty lucky because the well wasn't actually that full when I moved it. Because I think our well gets, I don't know when they fill it up, maybe like every 3 days. And we definitely would have been getting the well filled up more over the next coming days. But, yeah, I just moved it. And then it was wrapped up in a banana leaf and I was so nervous thinking like, oh my God, what if I get caught right now? And then I had to see Nick's like little chicken legs walking through the bush. Mm-hmm. And then I couldn't help but just tell him. I was so excited.
Yeah. Well, you end up telling Nick and then the two of you tell Harry before the vote. So was that something that you guys were always that you were going to do? Like tell Nick and Harry, you know, if Nick hadn't stumbled on you, do you think you might've kept it a secret?
I don't think I would have been able to keep it a secret because it's just like something so fun and it's just like, oh my God, it's so exciting. It's like you don't want to like open your birthday presents in front of no one. You want to be like, woohoo, oh my God, look at this. So, yeah, I was probably, no matter what, I would like to say, oh my God, I could definitely like keep a secret and hold it to myself, blah, blah, blah. But I know that I wouldn't do that because I'd be too excited.
Yeah, just a quick tangent. The onesie that you mentioned, I think, was a very iconic piece of your Survivor wardrobe. In a wardrobe full of iconic pieces, with the velour onesie, I feel like we need the backstory on this.
Yeah, so I actually had the exact same onesie in season 3, but in black. And it's so good because you get 5 items of clothing. And, like, I'm not going to pack pajama bottoms and top when I can just pack an all-in-one hood, velour, you know, cute little tie at the front, pockets for idols. It's really perfect.
It's like the perfect Survivor outfit. As you said, it's all in one, literally in the name, and yeah, you don't have to waste a second item of clothing on it. It's perfect.
It's so good, and it's like warm. It's amazing.
Did it have like little feet, or it just cut off at the ankles?
It just cut off at the ankles, but then I put my socks like over top of it.
You looked very comfortable, like for someone on Survivor.
It was great.
I love it. Well, you have the idol. You're going to go to tribal council. You're going to play the idol. Henry's doing a crazy thing with his fake idol. Did you go in expecting to play the idol?
Yes, because I spoke to Henry. I mean, I spoke to Harry before, and Harry said that, like, everyone is basically like, oh, we can get rid of Henry, but we need to keep strength, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you guys are losers. Like, we are not winning anyway. So, and I love how like everything is always my fault. Like no matter what I do, it's like, oh, Shawnee, yeah, we need to keep the tribe strong. Shawnee wasn't even in this challenge, but she needs to go. But yeah, so I was 100% going to play the idol. I actually filmed this thing of me like looking really sad before we went to tribal council. So that I could, like, I don't know, I guess use that, like, oh, poor Shawnee, she's going to be going home. But then really, I was like, I knew that I wasn't. And then when I voted for Henry, the reason I just said, like, oh, I can't think of anything else was because I really wanted to stay when I voted for him. Well, at least I know I'm not going home with an idol. But right. Then I thought that was too savage, so I just had to quickly change it at the end.
I mean, I think that would have been, like, a good level of savage. I mean, it's definitely savage, but the audience would have eaten it up.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, can't do that. Poor guy.
Yeah. Well, it was a 5-5 vote. You obviously negate all the votes. We never see how that would have worked out. Do you have a sense now on what would have happened on the re-vote if it had come to that?
I'm pretty sure the fact that I even got more than one vote just tells me that something is up because, yeah, I was only meant to be getting one and then people were meant to be splitting on Zach. But yes, I feel like I definitely would have went home if I didn't play that idol.
Coming back from that tribal council, having received half the votes of the tribe, how was that dynamic at that point?
I mean, I just went back on my way back. I was thinking, I was like, I'm not going to be like awkward. Like they're the ones that voted for me. They can be awkward, not me. I'm just going to live my life. So I was like just laughing. I'm like, oh, whoops, sorry, guys, ruined your plans. Uh-huh. And then everyone comes up and is just like, oh, I'm sorry. Like, we didn't know and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm like, okay, well, clearly you did know because I was meant to be getting one vote and I got 5. So But I was just like, meh, who cares?
Going from that vote, you know, it seems that you had a particular grievance with Abby. Abby is actually someone who votes for Henry of all those athletes, but especially when it's coming to like the revenge plot, Shawnee versus Abby was definitely a thing. So what was that relationship like?
I mean, I really like Abby, but I guess Abby wants to surround herself with strength, which is, I totally get that, because I guess she is someone who maybe when it gets a bit further down the line, people are going to be like, oh, let's vote off the strong ones. So that totally makes sense for her.
Yeah, well, going into this vote, it looks like you're going to be getting more votes. It looks like, as it was packaged to us, that Shan is on your side. She didn't vote for you at the last Tribal Council, and that you just need Zach as a swing vote. As it's been said to us later, you know, that Shan dropped out and that Nick tried to go for Zach to try and save you. So firstly, where did you stand in terms of getting Zach over to your side of the numbers before it all fell apart?
So Zach was basically on the outside of every vote. Like, he wasn't in an alliance, and everyone kind of just told him the information last minute. And yeah, I think that he wanted to play a different game to that. So basically we went to him with the idea that he could tell us any name he wanted and really take control and play his game. Like, he came here to play. This is your time to play. So he said John, and we were all, yep, on board with that. Perfect. But I guess, like, Shan has such a strong connection with Lydia outside of the game that it was hard to get her to turn against what Lydia was doing. So she pulled out in the end. And then there was really nothing we could do except for then Nick was trying to get the votes onto Zach.
You had said you'd had a connection with Lydia as well in the past. Obviously, that's not helping you out. Did you feel like anyone from that majority was going to be vouching for you and maybe trying to save your name? Or you felt like at that point strength had become such an issue that there was no one from that side who was going to be vouching for you?
Yeah, I definitely didn't think anyone would be vouching for me besides potentially Shan. But I mean, if she wanted to save me, she could have easily just voted because she wanted to break Lydia and Abby up anyway. She totally could have just went against what Lydia was doing and what the majority were doing and make a new majority, but she didn't want to. And I feel like at this stage, I was already kind of described as like the weakling. Like, who was it that couldn't go under the pontoon? It was John, but yet somehow it's still my fault. So I feel like it was, yeah, too far gone by then.
Looking at the fact that before the swap, you obviously have an idol that saves you, and then you're saved here by Exile. Do you look back like you had done something wrong or made a mistake somewhere to get yourself to that position? Or do you just think that like the perception of you as weaker in a tribe run by athletes was too much and it was impossible for you to overcome no matter what you did?
I feel like basically when we didn't vote out Shan, it was the biggest reason was because I would be ruining my relationship with Shan and Lydia. Nick would be ruining his relationship with Lee. And then Harry would be ruining his relationship with Abby and John. So we kind of thought for the best of our futures, we should, you know, not ruin any relationships with people that we already know, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like if we had voted out of Shan, then things would have been very different and we could have, you know, made it so it wasn't like, oh my God, strength, 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 athletes, athletes, athletes. But I mean, this is what happens when you start putting Olympians and athletes into a game that used to be for normal people. Of course, they're going to band together and use their strengths.
Had you come together as a group against the athletes, do you think you could have like kept Henry like on the level without going a little crazy? Or do you think that would have been hard to manage?
I think Henry definitely would have been hard to manage, and Nick knows Henry a lot, like more than I do, and I feel like he would have like thrown us under the bus for anyone. So it still would have been risky either way, but I do feel like the only way we could have avoided that whole athlete strength thing is by going with Henry at the start.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, really, really tough spot either way. Going into that tribal council where Shan has dropped out and Nick's trying, obviously, to get it on Zach, did you feel confident about your chances?
I felt so unconfident about my chances that I didn't even eat dinner because I was like, okay, well, if I don't have Shan, then that's done. So I didn't even eat rice because I'm like, oh, I mean, I'm probably going home tonight anyway.
So at that point, what are you thinking when you hear about this twist, this exile twist that comes into tribal council?
I was like, oh my God, yes, amazing. And I actually was thinking, because in my season, at the same vote is when we had Tegan's exile.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking, like, there's got to be something coming up soon. So yeah, I was stoked.
So you go to exile with Zach. What mm-hmm. How long were you there for? A night or was it two nights? What was happening there?
It was for one night. Yeah.
And what was that experience like?
I was just like, it's where I thought about my revenge, basically. I definitely like cried on the way to exile. I was like wiping my tears and I'm like, these bastards. But then I got there and I was like, I got a second wind and I'm like, no, F you. I'm going to take you all down.
Yeah. I mean, going there with Zach in particular, who's someone you kind of half worked with in the past, who you've played with before, who you'll try to work with again. How did that relationship evolve over being at Exile together?
I think it was great to be at Exile with Zach because he was someone who was on the outs, never really been involved. So I feel like it was just a good time for both of us to be like, we can do this. Like, let's get our revenge. And yeah, we became really close.
Did you have an indication of what Exile would be? Like, did you think you'd be battling Zach or did you kind of get an indication that you guys were just coming back into the game?
Well, they didn't say that we'd be doing a duel. And when Tegan went on my Exile, they said, tomorrow night we'll send another person and they will do a duel. And they didn't say anything like that. So I didn't really know what to expect, but I woke up and I was like, oh, okay. I mean, like, I think I can win against Zach anyway, because think about what it was when Tegan went to Exile. It was building blocks and rolling a ball. Like, there is strength does not like give you an advantage in that at all. So I definitely thought like we had a level playing field. So I was feeling pretty confident that I could beat him.
So coming back, you know, you come to the swap, you're put in separate tribes. This must have been a great outcome for you. Like, there's no jewel that you even have to win back on. You're back in the game. What was that feeling like?
Yeah, it was like, well, when, I mean, they showed it when Jonathan is like, okay, go, here's your buff. And I was like, oh, what now? Like, I was like, kind of like a bit taken back, but mm-hmm. I was like, okay, rightio. Like, I'm not going to complain. Sounds good to me. And I guess like a similar thing happened in season two with Tara and Annalise. So yeah, that gave me hope as well while I was out there.
So you're going on now to Vakama. You are back with some of your old enemies who you want revenge on, some new people that you didn't know from the old Vakama. What are your thoughts on this new tribe?
So on my new tribe, first of all, I saw Harry and Nick on separate tribes. So I was like, okay, cool. At least no matter what happens, I get one of them. So I was stoked on that. I was nervous because I knew that obviously Lydia and Abby and John would be like, blah, 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 strength, strength, strength. I didn't know Brooke, so I didn't know if she would be on this whole strength bandwagon. I didn't know if Lockie would be on the strength bandwagon. I just don't know these people. But I just went there and I just thought, like, okay, how am I going to save myself? I'm going to save myself by saying that if they want to weaken Makuta for the merge, then they need to get rid of the ringleaders. Like, why would they get rid of me? I literally have no ties with anyone from my old tribe. They tried to vote me out. I am literally the least threatening person with the least connections. Why would anyone want to get rid of me?
Did you know that Harry had voted against you at the exile vote? And if so, how did you feel about it?
I did not know that Harry voted for me. I thought that Sean had voted for me the entire time. I actually never even asked Harry, because I just assumed that, you know, there was two people. No. Yeah, I just assumed that it was Nick and Harry that voted for me, because I feel like if you have an option of voting for someone who's not in your alliance, wouldn't you do that? And then I found out, I'm pretty sure I didn't even ask him until we got back. And then I remember being angry at Harry for like 2 weeks. I was like, how dare you, you rude little so-and-so.
Would that have affected things, do you think? Because you guys work together until he goes out of the game with such like this positive relationship. Do you think that it could have been a fracture?
I feel like it could have actually been better, because I feel like if I had known that Harry voted for me, then I would have lobbied for Harry to give Nick the advantage because I feel like I would have cared less if Harry left.
Right. If only. Sliding doors, truly. So there are some important relationships on this new tribe that you're going to have for a very long time in the game. Notably, Brooke and AK, who you seem so close with later in the game. Was it quite an instant connection with these social relationships, or did it take a while to develop?
I mean, I was taking it quite slow. I didn't want to come in like guns blazing. But, you know, I was just like doing the girls' hair, chatting to the girls. I guess just, I mean, I think that I can be quite a fun person to be around. So just kind of making them be like, oh, yeah, I really like this girl. She's cool. Yeah, she's a fun time. And like, you're already starving. You're not sleeping well. So don't you want to have fun as well?
Yeah, I mean, this revenge arc where Abby and Lydia and John all go in succession, who are all people who voted against you, where, like, how much do you think was on you and your social game? As you said, you've painted them as a leader. Do you credit that as, like, one of your best moves in the game in taking out Abby, who seemed completely blindsided?
Yes, definitely. I think I absolutely love that moment because I feel like I took back the game for the regular people and kind of showed that you don't need to be a professional athlete. You don't need to be an Olympian to play this game. Sometimes a smart brain and a good personality works, and it does, because I was able to convince everyone super fast that they need to get rid of Abby and Lydia and John, and it worked.
Did you have much of a say of what that order would be in terms of like Abby going first?
I wanted Abby to go first, but I was kind of like, I didn't want to come into their camp and be too pushy. So basically I just gave them all the evidence, all the facts, like, this is what's happening. I've got no one. It'd be silly for you to vote me out. I think we should do either Abby or Lydia. I would prefer to do Abby. And then I think Brooke preferred to do Abby and Harry wanted to do Lydia. And then in the end, it was kind of like a group discussion and everyone agreed on Abby. But I didn't want to be like, we're voting for Abby now, let's do it. I wanted to make them feel like, you know, they have a say as well, because this is their beach and they have been working together and the numbers are 5-5.
Yeah. So at what point did you ever feel, as you were working with them, like at what point did you feel really a part of that group, or did you always feel like you and Harry were on the outs?
No, I felt really a part of that group. I feel like ever from the Abby vote, and like I was really like hanging out with the girls that day and I was like, oh geez, guys, I'm really going to be blindsided if you guys like screw me over. And they're like, no, trust us, like we're not going to. And then after that vote, they like gave me a hug and like told you we got your back. And I just, yeah, I seriously, those 2 weeks on Vakma were the best 2 weeks of any Survivor game ever. It was so much fun. We all like had the best relationships. And yeah, I felt definitely like a part of the gang.
Well, that's sad because Nick said that his 2 weeks on Makuta were like his least favorite part of the game that he's ever played. So it's kind of like two very different stories there. As this is happening, you are watching this happening on the other tribe, even though you guys are going to tribal much more. Obviously, you voted out Lydia. They vote out Phoebe on the other tribe and go to Fire. What was your perspective on watching what was happening on the other tribe?
I mean, I could tell, like, people say that Phoebe was blindsided, but she definitely wasn't, because I feel like even Brooke made a comment like, okay, well, Phoebe knows that she's going home tonight because she's really made an effort with her hair for her exit photo. And you could tell she looked like hell nervous. So I thought it was going to be Phoebe, but there was a lot of Nick chat in there as well. And something that Nick did that I loved, he kept on being like, you know what, Jackie and Tarzan, they are, you know, they shoot straight from the hip, blah, blah, blah. He was basically telling us that if he goes, it's because Tarzan and Jackie have majorly screwed him over.
Right. So in that fire challenge, I assume you were like heavily rooting against Lydia.
Yes. I was like, oh, come on. Like, you know, on Harry Potter, where it's like someone's doing the curse when he's playing Quidditch. That's me. I'm like, come on, Phoebe, come on, Phoebe, come on, Phoebe.
I love that vision. If magic were real, then you would definitely be like doing an incendiary curse. Yes, help Phoebe make her fire. I guess we know now why Lydia lost. Poor Lydia, didn't know that you were like hexing her behind the scenes.
Yeah, it was.
Someone that we haven't spoken about a lot, who is someone you played with in season 3, who is Matt. Yeah. He's there, he's on the outs. Did you have much of a thought on where you thought your games could go together?
Yeah, so Matt and I had a conversation at the border And it was basically like, once we get rid of Abby and Lydia, then we can all stick together. Well, not all of us, but like then me, John, Matt, Harry could all work together. And that was definitely something that we were, you know, we had that in the horizon for sure.
So in terms of like when it's Lydia versus Matt, you know, as options who could go home, were you very much then pulling for Lydia and not having Matt as an option?
Yeah, definitely. I did not want Matt to go home that night. I only wanted Lydia to go home. After the Abby vote, we got back to camp and I like gave Lydia a hug. So I'm like, oh, it must be, she's must be pretty shocked right now. So I went up and gave Lydia a hug and I'm like, are you going to stop gunning for me now, Lydia? And she was like, yes. And then I was happy to see that her next plot was actually Matt. I'm like, good girl, good girl. But it's too late.
Yeah, well, that probably spoke to how much you'd gotten your roots into the tribe that you weren't the next option.
Yeah.
And that she had to go for a different target. So that speaks to how well you had like acclimatized everyone so quickly.
That's good.
So getting to the John vote, it seemed like Matt really wanted to flip this game on its head. He's approaching Harry and you. And John's obviously in it, and then Flick to a degree. So we spoke about it a little bit in the exit interview. This is something that the fan community, not the super fan community as much, but definitely the fan community are like, this is where it all went wrong for Vakama. Do you look back at that like you should have made the change, or did you feel that confident in the Vakama group and that it was just other things that went wrong along the way?
I mean, I knew that if I did go with Matt, I feel like there was a lot of things that went wrong along the way. But with the Matt vote, I feel like I had tried to talk to Mo. You know, we don't get very long to chat, but you kind of do get a little bit of time, like in challenges and stuff. And I was trying to ask her like about her wedding and about her honeymoon. And I mean, I think Mo is just the type of person that needs to take a while to get to know someone. Like, she doesn't really warm to people right away. So for me, not working with Matt, a lot of the reason was because I just did not picture Mo welcoming me with open arms to her alliance. And I was just thinking, like, I'm going to get there. Mo's going to be like, who's this? And then I'm probably going to go anyway.
It is funny because I feel like, you know, in terms of like the eyes of the fans, you're damned if you don't. You know, you look back at giving power at the pre-swap to the athletes and trying not to rock the boat as much, and people insult that and say that, oh, you should have gone with a new group. And now you have gone with a very clear winning group, and people are like, well, you should have given power back to the athletes and just been pawns for them. It's like an opposite move, and I feel like both are criticized by like the armchair critics.
Totally. That's why you just got to not worry about what they say. Live your own life. Mm-hmm. The only people that can tell me what to do or give me advice are people that have come better than fourth place. Then I'm definitely willing to listen to what I should be doing. But people sitting at home that have never even played Survivor, I think I can take or leave their advice.
Fair enough. Well, you know, so this vote with Matt, he obviously does want you to flip. Were you close to doing that, do you feel? Or, you know, given the factors you just outlined with Mo, it was just never going to happen, or you really did weigh it up?
So we definitely did weigh it up. But at this point, I had already got my own way with Lydia and Abby, and I didn't want Harry to feel like he just has to do everything that I say. So I told Harry that, you know, I'm really satisfied with my last two votes, and this is a partnership, so he can like choose what we do, and I'm going to be 100% happy with it. He wanted to vote out Brooke, which I wasn't happy to do, but I would have done it if Harry wanted to, because we were so close. And like I said, I didn't want to just make him feel like he had to do everything I said. But then there was this whole like behind the scenes debacle which went down where Harry basically said to Matt that we will vote together, but Matt has to tell Mo to keep Nick safe in exchange for us to vote with him. And then basically they got caught. Matt obviously has to go back to camp, and people are going to know that they were strat-chatting anyway. So Matt decides to tell the full story to AK, including the part that he needs to tell Mo to keep Nick safe. And then AK tells Harry that Nick like dobbed on the plan to him. And then Harry was like, well, I don't want to work with someone who isn't even going to keep any aspect of our deal private. And then that moment was the moment where it was just like, nah, let's just stick with original Vakama.
So AK told Harry that Matt had dobbed on him.
Yes.
For our international listeners, dobbing is like tattletale, because I find they often don't know the words that we're saying, and dobbing sounds like a particularly made up word, don't you think?
Yeah. Dibba dobber.
Yeah. So Matt was a dibba dobber, and that's why he got voted out of the game. You heard it here first. Oh, no. Well, yes, Matt was a dibba dobber. That's true. And he told his whole plan. So at that point, obviously, it's something you can still do, obviously, that they would just know about, but you just didn't, or Harry didn't trust Matt at that point once he'd outlaid the whole plan.
Yep. So once Matt outlaid the whole plan to AK, Harry didn't trust him, and Harry didn't want to work with someone who didn't, like, he couldn't rely on. I think that if he hadn't have told AK the part about keeping Nick safe, it wouldn't have been a big deal. But I guess the fact that he told AK about the Nick part of the deal, I guess that was like the final straw for Harry. And then I had already said that Harry and I are a partnership. He can choose who goes, and I will vote with him regardless. So then I was just didn't really think about it. I was just like, meh, yep, okay, Harry said so. That's good to go.
Why was Brooke Harry's target?
I actually can't even remember.
All right. Well, maybe she was like the queen leading it. If she and Lockie were a bit of a power couple, it would it
yeah,
be something like
he,
that?
Yeah, I think he wanted to take away one part of the power couple, and maybe he wanted to keep Lockie for the strength. How boring of you, Harry, if that's true.
Okay, well, I guess we'll get that from Harry. Getting to the Matt vote next. You know, having had this relationship and this working relationship, you vote him out, he votes for you. What were your feelings about that? Do you just feel like it was that strength thing again and appealing to Lockie?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Matt's not really the type of player. Matt wouldn't have wanted to play a game based on strength, but I feel like he really had no options, and that's just something that he can be like, appeal to the people who's been with since day one, and I'm obviously the outsider, and then he can say, you know, let's just keep the tribe strong. But I feel like he would have had more of a shot if he went for Harry, because everyone trusted me way more than Harry.
Well, Harry at this point is offering to have the vote split on him. What were your thoughts about that move?
I was like, oh, I didn't want him to do that, because obviously I wanted him to stay in the game, but I guess, I mean, I see where it's coming from. Everyone, for some reason, did not trust Harry. They're always like, Shawnee, are you sure? And I'm like, guys, yes. I mean, obviously at this stage, I didn't know he had already voted for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, everyone just like, no one really trusted him ever. So I feel like that was a good way for him to, we didn't have to be like going behind people's backs, like who's the split vote going to be on? And it was a way for Harry to be like, look, I'm a trustworthy guy.
So with Matt going home and obviously Harry offering to split, you guys are now at this like very trustworthy, it seems, group of six. Flick's going to go home, but the six felt like a perfect little group of six, like the happiest time, as you've said. Was there a real sense of the dynamic? Did you feel like you and Harry were at the bottom? Obviously, Harry felt very concerned around this time when he's trying to play the advantage, or did you feel like Flick was definitely on the bottom, or was it so happy and peaceful that that hierarchy wasn't immediately clear?
I mean, it definitely felt like happy. Like it was, I had the best time. Six was such a good number, but I felt like I had been working both of the girls because I knew that they had trust issues with each other. So I would kind of like spend time with one of them and then just be like, oh, so like, I know you guys have an arrangement that you're not going to get out each other until merge. Like that's so risky, blah, blah, blah. Just talking, like not even coming from an aggressive strat chat angle, just like a friend angle. Like, oh yeah, how does that, what's that like? Blah, blah, blah. So I thought that, yeah, they would be ready to turn on each other.
So, yeah, I mean, there's obviously this Brooke and Flick thing had been burning for 4 years. In terms of the Flick vote, when you're hearing different things about, like, who's going to be getting votes, did you trust that the Flick vote would be what would happen?
So I guess the reason that we went with Flick was because if we voted out Brooke or Lockie, then the other one would like go to merge really angry. But AK said that he was happy to get rid of Flick. So it was really, I have to say it was AK's more doing, because this is going to be so confusing because they didn't show it on TV. Should I even bother?
Yes, no, definitely.
So basically AK was happy to vote out Flick because, I don't know, he said that they weren't as tight, and I guess he wanted to play the game as a one, not a two. And then Brooke and Lockie wanted to vote out Harry because they didn't trust Harry. And then Flick was going to be voting for me as a split vote as well. But it was basically AK that convinced Lockie and Brooke to vote out Flick with us. So that, yeah, like he was really like, come on, Brooke, you can do it. Like, this is your revenge. What's your family going to say if you go home and she votes you out first? And I think it helped that AK really wanted to work with Nick and I mean, Harry and I. Still to this day, we always debate, like, who would have AK sided with, me and Harry or Lockie and Brooke? And Harry and I always say that he would side with us. But obviously Brooke and Lockie, like, no, he would have sided with us. So it really goes to show what a great game AK was playing as well. But yeah, that whole vote really came down to AK pushing it. And then at Tribal Council, they said, let's go with option B, which was AK's option of voting, all of us voting for Flick.
So do you feel that it was very much, you know, convinced at Tribal, or was before Tribal that he convinced them of that plan?
I mean, he was really working them before Tribal, but I think it was at Tribal that Brooke said, let's go with option B, to really switch to Flick.
Yeah, I mean, Harry stands up and tries to play an advantage. Did you know at all that he had an advantage at this point?
No, I didn't. But he said something like, something about, I can't remember what he said, something about blowing the Tribal up. And I feel like a nervous Nelly when I'm around Harry. I'm like, I just want him to like behave and shut up. But he's always like has to say all of this stuff at Tribal. I'm like, oh, be quiet. Don't attract attention to yourself. When he pulled out the advantage, I was just so confused. I'm like, okay, first of all, why didn't you tell me about this? Second of all, what is this? If it's not an idol, like, what is it?
Well, it does seem like you're the first person he ends up telling, even though he's being pretty cagey about it. And when you heard that, you seemed to be most on the train that he needed to give it to Nick.
Yeah, I was excited. And I was thinking like, oh, this is amazing. But in the end, it was just so risky. Like, we just didn't know, because side note, okay, so when we were in lockdown, we had this like rules, like guidelines and rules thing that we put an initial at every page, just like a 5-page document. And we are like 99% sure it said merges at 12. If you make 12, you make jury. So we were thinking, AK and I especially, we're like, okay, so this means that we're going to delay it by one. Anyway, when I got out and I asked about that, they were like, no, it's just like a guideline. And I was like, are you serious? I really took that as like gospel.
Yeah, that's crazy that that was what decided this. So you obviously, you know, had some fears that if you went back to Tribal, it could have been you or Harry. But like, I assume you really, really wanted to save Nick on the other side. So you think, like, were you even pushing it despite that, or that was like a deal breaker for you?
So every time we kind of like went to a challenge or something, Dave would always be talking about how he was like, when Phoebe left, and he's like, well, I'm just glad I'm still here. So we're thinking like, oh, he must have got votes. Like, he was such a good like cover up. So we really thought that Dave was on the bottom, especially because Brooke had previously used an idol to save Dave. Lockie and Dave were really close, so I guess they really trusted him. And he was kept on being like, oh man, I'm screwed, like, I'm with you guys as soon as we get there. And then when Brooke and I went over to the, what was it, like the BLT Bloody Mary reward, I actually could not hear. So Nick like whispered to me, I'm with you guys 100%. And I was like, yeah, I already know that. But then we're sitting in the shelter and he was whispering so softly that I actually could not hear anything. So I was just like, but I couldn't hear a word he was saying. And he was being hell like sneaky because he said that he couldn't really chat to us. So I didn't want to be like, sorry, Nick, what are you saying? And like make a scene. But something that they didn't show, which had like a massive factor, was Brooke got given Dave's fake idol when we were at the BLT reward, so that if they lost the next Tribal Council, Brooke could hand it to Dave, and then because Dave would be like voted out that Tribal Council. So he wanted to use it as like, oh, I'm like about to be voted out. Can you give me this fake idol? So then they might not vote for me because they'll think I have a fake idol. So that in itself was just like, okay, wow, Dave must really be on the bottom. So we didn't really know if Nick would be going or if Dave would be going.
Yeah, and you would have hoped that whoever didn't go would be working with you as well.
Yeah.
So you thought that you'd have some numbers there without delaying it. And then obviously the fear of delaying it and going back and who's AK siding with. And at that point, like, is Harry getting voted out? Like, I understand.
Yeah.
It's a dicey situation.
I just wish they said, I wish on the scroll it said, hey guys, don't worry. This does not delay merge. We will merge at 13 instead. Then we'll be like, okay, that's good. Perfect. Or like, even if we just lost that immunity challenge, I feel like that would have been better, because then we could have just used the stop the tribal for ourselves, and then we would have just found out the next day that we would have just brought merge forward.
Yeah, a lot of things went wrong. Were you asking the producers, or was Harry asking the producers about all these questions?
I'm pretty sure he would have, but they wouldn't have explained that. Like, so they never, yeah, we would be like, oh, is today immunity or reward? And they would never tell us. They don't even tell us like what, how many, or they kind of say like 20-minute warning before we leave for a challenge, but they definitely do not give you like inside information about the day that we'll be merging. Because even in the lead up to merge, we were thinking there might be another tribe swap. So we were like, oh, like always trying to be like, okay, so guys, we better take all of our stuff for the tribe swap. And like, yeah, you can never get any actual information.
So getting to the merge, obviously Nick is voted out. What are your feelings here? You do think that obviously Dave has been on the bottom. Are you feeling good about your chances at the merge?
So rocking up and seeing that Nick had been voted off was like hell devo. I was like, oh damn it. Like I really thought that if anyone was leaving, it might be Dave, because obviously the idol that Brooke gave him was not a real one. So yeah, I was definitely upset, but I also thought we still have seven potentially, because we believed, like I 100% believed that Zach would work with me, and they believed that Dave would work with them. So I still thought like we still have a chance.
Yeah, well, getting back with Zach, obviously you're talking about birds and getting him to bond with Brooke. And we've heard in hindsight from a few people that Zach was really good here at kind of swindling you guys. Do you feel like this was some of his best work?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I definitely thought that Zach never got a chance to play at Old Makuta. I mean, I can't imagine him really having that much say in New Makuta, but I really believe that this would be his time to just like, you know, he got to choose, he could choose who went and he would really play. And he was definitely like, yeah, this is my shot. I've been like playing from the bottom. I'm ready to take control. And I definitely believed him. So well done to him.
Was there anything from either Dave or Zach that indicated to you that something was amiss, or you just believed it hook, line and sinker?
Oh, I was pretty like, I mean, obviously going to tribal council thinking, oh, well, there's a big chance it could go the other way, because you never really know. You're always so nervous. But I definitely believed that. I thought it made sense for them to work with us. And because I always try to think when I'm playing, what would I do if I was that person? So Zach did not, he was really annoyed at Shan for her, all of her flip-flopping, and he hadn't got a chance to play. And also he could join us, and then I think it was at five or six, he could have made like an alpha alliance. So it really, like everything really, in my opinion, it made sense for him to actually go ahead with it. So I was pretty hook, line and sinker. He had me.
Had you had some, you know, success at this merge vote, had you thought very far down the track about how you wanted the game to go and who you wanted to be sitting next to at the end?
So after we voted out Sean, then I wanted to vote out an alpha, because I didn't want to let them get to a number where they could all just take over. So I wanted to go Tarzan next, and I knew that Tarzan was someone that hadn't really done much strategizing. So I feel like a lot of people wanted to take him to the end, probably just to win against him. So I thought that would open up the game for us as well. But I mean, at this stage, I was feeling pretty confident in myself and what I had achieved so far. So I was pretty much like happy to sit against anyone except for Dave.
Well, you know, you win immunity as well at this stage. What did it feel like for that moment?
Oh my God, it was so good to win immunity, especially the first one, because it is the one where you really find out who's lying to you and who's not. And I think I won it in like, it was really quick.
Yes, we've heard a couple of minutes, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I think it took, because people use our same like equipment and they do it before us, and it took them like 53 minutes. And then I did it in like 4 minutes or something. So yeah. But the stupidest thing about that was like people were moving their head from their tower to their bowl. And I'm like, why would you do that? If you move your head, you're going to like go off balance, and you don't need to, like, all you do is feel inside the bowl. Do you really need your eyes to know where the blocks are? Feel inside the bowl. You're bound to find some. Like, it's just unnecessary to put yourself off balance with a head movement.
Yeah, you're right. That is a good way to hack that challenge. If anyone goes on the show in the future and needs to know how to do that in like record time like you did, don't move your head.
Don't move your head. You don't need to see where the blocks are. Look at your tower. Focus. But yeah, it was. I was so happy to win that. And I feel like that's when I was like, ha, ha, ha. This game isn't just about Olympians and muscles.
Yeah, I mean, you became something of a challenge beast after the whole first half of the season being about, like, your battle with the athletes.
Yeah, totally.
So coming back from that blindside, you know, it's not great. You've been had basically by David and Zach, and now you're in this, like, group of four against seven. How did you feel there? Did you feel like you guys had much of a chance to sway people, or in hindsight, you feel like you should have broken up that Fakuma group sooner?
I mean, I always, like, I never give up hope because there's always, you could, if you're just going to not try, you may as well just walk home. So I was still hopeful that we could turn it around. But obviously I was thinking, okay, well, this would have been good if I had Matt because maybe he would be looking out for me as well. But, yeah, you can't turn back time.
Yeah, I mean, it's Lee and Zach again that you guys are targeting to work with you. Did you have much faith in them at that point?
No. So we didn't have much faith at all. But our whole thing was like, we could tell that Jackie was like really grinding on some people's gears. So we tried to use that as like a, come on, why don't you just vote her out now while you can? And then you still have the numbers. You can still flip back the very next vote if you want to. There's nothing we can do about it, but why don't you just get rid of someone who annoys you?
So having, you know, worked with Harry this whole time, not knowing that he had voted for you before, what was it like to have him leave the game after you've obviously just lost Nick and the numbers as well?
I was – so on that challenge, the one that he went home, it was really nice. Obviously, they didn't show it, but it was like a beautiful sunset, and we knew that like one of us would be going home that night. So we were like, goodbye, it's been great, it's been a pleasure. And we said a really nice goodbye to each other. We were still, you know, going to give it a shot at tribal, but it was nice to say goodbye. I was definitely like really missed him when he got voted out. I was like, damn it, my buddy from day one is gone.
Yeah. And Dave obviously wanted to take out Harry based on like some weird consecutive days that he wanted. But how fearful were you that it would be your name that was the next one taken out?
Yeah, I felt like because I had won the first challenge so easily, I definitely thought that they might vote for me as well.
So, yeah, I mean, and you don't have immunity at that tribal council. You know, you won at the next one, you won at the last one, but you don't have that one as well. Do you think that they should have targeted you at that point, considering, like, how much damage you end up doing?
I mean, I feel like Dave already had his plan and he didn't want Harry to get those consecutive numbers for season four. So I think it made sense for him. It just goes to show, like, I feel like if someone in your alliance is like, hey guys, so figure it out, I need to have more numbers than Harry. He obviously thinks about things a lot, and that should have been a warning sign for his alliance. Like, oh, Dave is really thinking hard.
Were you at this point pretty aware of what Dave was doing?
Yeah, by this stage, definitely. Because by this stage, it was basically Dave telling, from here on out, all of Dave and I's strat chats are basically him trying to tell me what to do and me saying no, which is, he really did not like that. I guess he comes from an alliance where he was the leader. So for him to tell me like, okay, so you're going to have to turn on Brooke and AK, and then for me to be like, well, no, I'm not, because I have a vote and I can do what I want with it. He didn't like that.
Yeah, I mean, on a serious note, the game gets to a point now where Lee is going to be taken out because of his mom. Was that a shift for you in terms of anything emotionally? I mean, I'm sure it was obviously something very difficult. You were there at the time having not won reward. So can you talk to us a bit about that?
Yeah, when that was just like the saddest thing ever. It was just, you couldn't help but cry. It was just so, I don't know, just thinking like about how much I'm like so obsessed with my mom. And if something happened while I'm on the island and then you want to get home, but you can't just instantly get home. It takes I think it took him like more than 12 hours to even get home because we're in a pretty remote part of Fiji. So yeah, that was totally devastating. And I feel like after that, no one really felt like having strat chats because it was too soon.
Yeah. The game shifts so quickly and you guys have to go back to an immunity challenge after all of that. which was the immunity challenge that you won, which was great. Winning two out of the first three, what was that like?
When I won my second one, I was literally just like, ha, ha, ha. Once again, I have proved for the regular people, you do not need to be an athlete. You do not need to be an Olympian. This is for normal people, and normal people can do this. So I was stoked, and I felt like the fact that no one was cheering for me, it was pretty funny. I was like playing this game where every time someone was like, go, Dave, you can do it, I would be like, go, Shawnee, you can do it. And I would basically just replace my name with everything they said, just cheering myself on. And I just knew that, like, people really didn't want me to win, so I felt like if I didn't win, I'd be going home.
Well, you winning does give you some power, because it seems like before you guys know about Exile, it's going to be AK and Brooke who are the two options, and the vote split. And it seems like your vote might actually be the most important, because if the majority just split at 3-3 and Brooke and AK vote for each other, your vote would win the day. So who would you have sided with at that stage?
I was going to vote for AK and side with Brooke, because I figured that if I get rid of Brooke now, then Dave's just going to get me next anyway. But if I get rid of AK, Brooke and Mo had this like interesting relationship where I felt like potentially Brooke and I could sway Sean and Mo to work with us, but I felt like I needed Brooke there to help me get Mo.
It did seem like it was a quite a divided group in terms of like pulling people over. Did it feel very divided at camp?
Yeah. So Mo was like to me, like, oh, who are you going to vote for? She's like, and she was basically keen on keeping Brooke in the game, and Dave was keen on keeping AK in the game. But I thought, like, I'm like, oh, well, I can't really work with Dave anyway. And so my best chance is to keep Brooke and then use her for her relationship with Mo to try and create something new. Side note, it was the girls that were voting for Brooke and the guys that were voting for AK. I mean, sorry, it was, yeah. It was the guys that were voting for AK. So I believe that if it came down to it, that Dave and Zach would have just voted, put their votes on Brooke. Like, I don't really believe that they would have let me have the power to decide what's best for my game.
Yeah, I do tend to agree with that. And Dave indicated in our deep dive that the split vote, the pure 3-3 split vote, did come as a result of knowing about Exile rather than just being what they necessarily would have been doing anyway.
Yeah.
Because, so the Exile vote here, you know, you guys find out you're going to have a little bit of power because three people are going to go to Exile. Exile again, which you've already been to on this season. What was your thoughts on the twist when you first heard about it?
So when I first heard about the twist, I was like, yes, this is amazing. But then when I heard the second part of the twist, that we're going to have another one tomorrow and more people are going to go, I was kind of bummed. I was like, what? I just swam for 2 hours and all I'm doing is saving myself from one night on Exile. Like, I'd probably prefer just to go the first night and hang out with my friends. And also, I've won three individual immunities on Survivor, and two of them have been non-elimination rounds. So I was like, damn, I'm really always only winning the ones that are non-elimination. But also, like, that's the game. And, I mean, I'm pretty lucky that I didn't get eliminated and went to Exile the first time.
Well, yeah, I mean, it did obviously lessen the significance of your immunity win, because instead of saving your life in the game, it means that you then have to follow it up with a second immunity win to keep yourself truly safe from Exile. And that's not what you signed up for.
I know. So I would have had to win two back to back just to avoid going on the one that I wouldn't have went home on the first one. So I was like, damn it, why do we have to have like this second day thing? You're really screwing me over here.
Yeah, but it did give you guys some time, which we'll talk about, to kind of make a move happen. Why did the three of you vote for Mo? Why was that your choice?
So we voted for Mo because we didn't want Dave to go there, because Dave was always winning the challenges. And Mo was like second in charge of that alliance, from my opinion anyway. So we thought that would be good. And I mean, she was one of the first ones to be dropping out on the immunity challenges, kind of like over the board, like if it was like a holding weight one or a swimming one, or like basically most of the challenges, she was in the first lot of people to go. So we thought that would be the best chances for them as well.
Did the majority appeal to you? Like, once your three votes carried a lot of weight and you were going to be deciding who would go to Exile, did they start like trying to appeal to you of why you shouldn't be voting for them, or they just let you go and vote whoever you wanted?
No, they weren't going to tell us anything. We were going to do what we wanted to do. So there was really no point. I feel like how that's pretty like outrageous for them to be like, no, don't listen to me, vote for this person, when it's like, shut up. Now we actually have our vote can mean for something. So we're going to do what we want to do anyway.
Yeah. So going back to camp and having your allies at exile and losing immunity to Shan, did you know 100% that you were going to exile, or was there any chance for you to stay around?
I knew 100% that I was going to exile unless I found an idol. So I just spent my afternoon looking for an idol. I knew that I wanted to bring Jackie with me. And so I already knew who I was going to vote for. There was no reason for me to be involved in strat chats. So I just looked for an idol. But I found it was the most frustrating day, because I was kind of looking forward to this whole thing, because I thought, okay, finally, people are going to start seeing that, like, Dave is in charge of their alliance. And, like, now's the time where you have to be like, okay, save yourself. It's $500,000. That's a lot of money. What can you do to save yourself? And then people are literally, oh, I don't want to go, but Dave said I have to. And I'm like, are you serious? So you don't care about $500,000? You're not going to go try and do something? You're not going to see, like, what? How can you just do that? It was so frustrating.
Were those things you were actually saying to them, or just, like, thinking in your head?
No, I said it. I was like, why don't you go do something about it? Even at Tribal Council, I can't remember if they played it or not, but I was definitely like, yeah, it's frustrating when you're, like, so desperate to stay in this game, and then you have people that are like, oh, well, I don't want to go to exile, but I guess I've got to, Dave said. And then it was funny. I can't remember if they played this or not, but basically, by the end, before Tribal Council, Zach did not seem interested in going to exile anymore. But obviously Dave's, like, walking around limping, coughing, like, oh, I can't go, I'm too sick. And Zach was like, oh, yeah, well, you know, I didn't really want to go either, blah, blah, blah. And then we rock up, and Zach and Dave were really making a point to tell the jury that Zach was being a champion and a hero, and he really wanted to go to exile. And I was like, really? It didn't really seem like that way this afternoon at camp, just, like, trying to tell them. That's not what's happening, guys. Don't listen to them. He doesn't want to go.
Mm-hmm. Well, in terms of bringing Jackie over, was that, like, just from a social perspective, because you felt like you could flip her if you had her?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to bring – I couldn't bring Shan. I definitely didn't want to bring Dave, because he was, like, he's one of the best at challenges anyway. So I was happy with Zach coming. And then I would way rather be with Jackie over Tarzan, because Tarzan, like, you can't do anything with him anyway. He was – I don't even know why he bothered. Like, I don't know. Like, not – that's rude. But I mean, like, he went on this game and he's openly said many times that, you know, I'm just here for the journey and all this stuff. And I'm like, what? I'm pretty sure most of us are here for $500,000. And it's annoying trying to play with people who aren't even interested in winning themselves. So, yeah, Jackie was definitely a good choice.
Yeah, well, a lot of your social strategic play seems to be around, like, what is best for you and working out what people want and working with them to, you know, achieve both of your goals. But I guess with Tarzan, it must be hard because his goals aren't self-preservation and self-serving, and that's what you appeal to. And if he doesn't have that, then how is he going to flip on his allies when his goal is to help his allies?
Yes, totally. Like, the whole aim is to think about what people want and how they can make their game forward, move their game forward, and how you can help them do that. Because you can't just go up to someone and be like, do it for me. Like, no, you need to appeal to why it's going to be better for them. And for Jackie, it's easy because you can be like, they don't even care about you. They sent you here. Like, no one's cheering for you. Do you really want to go home without making a move? What are you going to do if you get to the end? But if you try to say that's Tarzan, he's going to be like, oh, well, I'm just here for the journey.
Yeah, with Jackie, obviously, you convinced her over. Was it, you know, you've talked about how it feels like she was kind of annoying some people. Was it stuff that you could already very much see, or was it even more obvious to you because of exile, because they were forcing her to go and you really used that specifically?
Yeah, so I definitely knew that she was on the outside. So that's why we first of all tried to get people to vote her out, because we knew she was on the bottom. And then if that fails, you can use the person from the bottom to help get majority out. But it was definitely very evident when she didn't want to go to exile, but yet people are making her go there. I mean, it's her own fault for not trying to do anything else. But yeah, it was definitely quite clear. And then we got there and I knew that her and Zach didn't have the best relationship. And AK and I would just do, we would, oh, it was so funny. We'd like go off with one of them each and like kind of like, oh yeah, how annoying was that? Oh, blah. And then just make it so much worse for them. And then AK and I would like link back up and like laugh about it.
Mm-hmm. What was your reaction to, like, your developing understanding of the twist? Like, JLP is going to tell you it's not just a challenge, it's now a vote, like, before you get voted to exile. So were you feeling better about that because you could use your social skills, or were you like, oh, damn, now we might actually be taken out by this majority?
I feel like it was so bad for us either way. Like, you don't win a challenge, then you're out immediately. But basically, if you don't win a challenge, then you're still up on the chopping block. But, yeah, it was kind of bad regardless. But I guess it was a little bit better knowing that at least we had a vote.
Did you feel very confident about that vote at the time where you were, like, you know, convincing Jackie and you guys acting like you're definitely going to vote for each other? Did you feel confident in the fact that Jackie would vote with you?
I did feel confident that Jackie would vote with us because Jackie needed to do something. Jackie was, she did want that money. And what was she going to do? Get it to the end and be like, oh, I played a quiet game. Like, that's not what people want to hear in an All-Stars season, I feel. So I felt like this was her opportunity. Like, if she's not going to do it now, when is she going to make a move? And I was just so happy that she was not questioning, because obviously it was a really bad time to flip. Like, flipping to an even number, so bad. Mm-hmm. But I was just so glad she wasn't really questioning, like, how that would work next time.
Were you aware that she had told Mo and Sean about the plan?
Yes. We told her not to tell them, but she told us that she did tell them. And then, so that was kind of like, oh, great. Are they going to spoil this for us?
Having known that information, is it something that you thought about to use later on? Like, maybe when you were in, you know, dire straits, even at your boot, we were skipping ahead a little bit now, but with Sean and Dave being so crucial to the dynamics going forward, did you think about telling Dave maybe that Sean and Mo had known and trying to drive a wedge between those groups?
So basically Brooke had, like, went out to Dave on one day and was basically, like, pitching Sean and saying, just basically, like, yeah, putting Sean forward. I'm not really sure. I mean, we discussed it and then she went off to do it, so I wasn't there at the time. But yeah, we definitely, I don't know if she actually told him that. I'm pretty sure she did, though. Did Dave say that he knew that?
He didn't. Do you remember? Think that you had told him that.
No. Okay. But then maybe Brooke didn't. But yeah, we definitely tried to turn Sean against Dave. And it was quite funny because the moment we knew that Dave wasn't into it was when all of a sudden Brooke and I are at the well and Tarzan comes, like, running at us. Like, Dave told me that you guys want to vote out Sean. Yeah, Dave told me, like, Dave said that, and now we're going to do that. And we're thinking, like, well, that's a lie, because why would Tarzan hasn't had a strat chat with us ever? Why would he be the one, like, quickly running up to us? Like, it just did not make sense at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is all, like, you know, skipping ahead to the point where you're trying to at least use Sean or throw her under the bus. But before you get there, you have convinced Jackie away. You have voted out Zach, who mm-hmm. you had something of a relationship with. Was it hard to see Zach go at any point?
No, it wasn't hard because I knew it'd be me. So I feel like, what am I going to be like? Oh, let's not vote Zach out. I'll just go home instead. Like, it's a dog eat dog world out there.
So what is the feeling having made that massive flip happen, now being at a 4-4 when you were at a point, you know, at like a 6-3?
Yeah. Getting to 4-4 was like, oh my God, you know, like on Hunger Games, like, may the odds be ever in your favor. And I felt like for once I was getting close to having them in my favor.
Yeah. So this now is going to be where you're going to have to go to Rocks. If that mm-hmm. you know, that's the plan to vote, you know, against the other side. You vote for Mo. Why was Mo the vote here when Dave has immunity?
Because Mo was, like, the second in charge.
Right.
We thought. Same, like, reasons. Sean was no worries to us. Like, Sean, Dave and Mo actually would be like, hey, Sean, like, go point to someone having a conversation, and she'd literally be eating her rice, get up and, like, bolt after them to, like, go listen to their conversation. Or I remember one time Jackie and Brooke were having a strat chat by the water because we were eating lunch and they're putting some salt water into their rice and they were strat chatting. And then Mo was like, hey, Sean, don't you need some rice for your water? And Sean, like, gets up and, like, runs out to the ocean to, like, listen to them. And then I see Brooke, like, pointing back to the beach and, like, talking to Sean. Next minute, Sean, like, comes back. So Brooke was like, be a strong, independent woman, Sean. You don't need to listen to their orders. If you want to eat your lunch in peace and not have to like run after us doing our thing, just like don't do it. Do what you want to do. But yeah, that's basically why we wanted to take out Mo, because she had way more power than besides Dave.
Well, I mean, Sean's someone you obviously worked with early on in the game, who now isn't working with you at all, and who also had screwed you over early on in the game, to be fair, as well. And as you've said, that you had points were trying to work with her, you were obviously at points trying to throw her under the bus and work against her. So what was that relationship like with Sean in general through this post-merge?
I mean, I feel like Sean and I always, like, we actually had some really nice, like, bonding moments, but I feel like it's just really frustrating for someone to tell you constantly, like, yep, 100%, and then they just don't follow through with it. And I feel like she goes above and beyond to be like, yep, when I'd prefer for her to just be like, oh, look, I'm still weighing up my options. I'm not sure. I'm, like, I really want to win. I've got to do what I want to do, instead of just, like, repeating the same sentence over and over again and then never actually following through with it. But I, once again, I tried to think what would be best for Sean's game. And, like, when is it ever a good idea to go to the end with the person who gave you the orders? Like, I feel like that's really not a good idea. So for me, yeah, I always tried to keep our relationship, even after, like, several things where she just didn't come through for us. But just to be like, hey, why would you want to keep Dave in the game?
Yeah, I mean, were you having those conversations with her about Dave specifically?
Constantly, basically going back to rocks. So we thought, Dave is just so smart. So we thought that he would be voting for either myself, Brooke, or AK. So that already takes one of us out of the equation, and that's better odds for the other two that are going up for rocks. And then especially if, like, Brooke won immunity or something, then there would only be one of us left, and then there's more of the original Makuta that would be going to rocks as well. And then it was Dave playing, the fact that Dave voted for Jackie, it made it, we're the ones deciding to go to rocks, and it makes it really bad if one, there's a 75% chance that one of us are going home, because we no longer have one of us being saved by the rocks. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. And then also the fact that he played an idol for Tarzan just made the odds even worse for us. I feel like it was more Dave than Sean. So Dave should really be getting the credit for for telling his alliance to vote for Jackie. That's amazing. And then also playing his idol for Tarzan to reduce the odds for us even more. He basically made it impossible for us.
Yeah, I mean, well, if it had been, say, Dave still wins immunity, but they vote for one of the three of you and save you with rocks, and he doesn't play the idol on Tarzan, then the Vakuma three only have a 40% chance of going home, but he made it a 75% chance of going home. So that's a lot more percentage points for you guys, a lot more risk. So I totally get it. In the time where you're, like, talking to Sean, and you probably aren't going to go to rocks because of this numerical pressure, what are you trying to get out of that interaction? Are you just trying to get Sean to swear her loyalty to you in the hope that she will in the future?
So we were just trying to tell Sean, like, we will go to rocks. And Sean doesn't really like to take a risk anyway. So I actually really thought that she would jump with us on the second round. So basically we were just, like, strong-arming her. Like, we're going to do it no matter what. So if you don't want to go to rocks, then you better vote for Jackie. And obviously she doesn't end up voting for Mo, but then she gets back and then she regrets it and tries to get Tarzan to vote for Mo. I'm like, damn it, why couldn't you have that epiphany while you were still voting? Mm-hmm. And then when she's telling us that, like, you know, she's with us. And for me, it makes sense. Like, why would anyone want to keep Dave in the game? It does not compute to me at all. It is the silliest, I don't get it. And it just, I feel like if anyone's going to be voting out Dave, that's, yeah, it seems, makes sense. This is what I also don't understand. Watching it back, oh, I need to weaken Dave. I'm like, hey, do you know what weakens Dave a lot? If you actually just get rid of him. Why do you always need to be, oh, I need to take his best friend Zach. Oh, I need to weaken him with Tarzan. It's like, why don't you weaken him by taking him out of the game, and then you give yourself a better shot at winning? It just does not make sense.
Yeah. Well, we're hoping that she would come with you and vote out Dave, and knowing the numerical pressure that David put on you, where 3 out of 4 chance one of the Vakumas goes. Did you were you entertaining going to Rocks even still, or you knew you weren't going to Rocks at that point?
I mean, we were kind of entertaining it as well, because I was kind of thinking like, oh, like the only way I'm getting to the end is if I basically win loads of challenges. So we're definitely still thinking about it. But then we're just like, you know what, Dave, 75% chance. We have an offer from Sean that she would get out Dave with us. And that makes sense. Why would anyone want to keep Dave in the game? Yeah.
Well, you know, now you come back to camp and there's the 3 of you, and there's obviously Mo and Tarzan and Dave and Sean in the middle, and she's talking more to you guys, as we've seen, and Tarzan doesn't trust it, but Mo trusts it. You seem quite confident that Sean would be with you because, as you said, it makes sense to you to take out Dave. Did you have doubt in that?
She would go over to talk to them, and then she'll come over to talk to us. And I was laughing one day. I'm like, oh, Sean, are you just repeating what Dave told you to say? And she's like, no, I'm not. I'm with you guys. But yeah, I just tried to think of it from her point of view. So I was hopeful that she would try to benefit her own game and take out Dave. I mean, to be fair, I think that I was a massive threat as well. I had an amazing CV. That's very British of me. resume. So I feel like it would have made sense for her. I would have appreciated being voted out, but then the next vote being David, so it kind of is for something. But voting me out and then not voting David out just doesn't make sense. But I was hopeful, but at the same time, I knew that she didn't have a good track record on actually doing stuff. So I told Brooke, I'm like, Brooke, I'm going to leave my sarong for you, because the sarong is so good. You can like use it to tan, you can use it after you get out of the water. So anyway, I gave my sarong to Brooke so that she could have it if I was voted out that night, but I was still hopeful.
Were you aware, or did you suspect that Dave had another idol then at 7?
I had no idea that Dave had another idol, but isn't it insane that he had too many idols and not enough people voting for him?
Yeah, I mean, it's
like
crazy.
Imagine that problem. Like, oh yeah, I'm playing All Stars. I've got an alliance that listens to everything I say. I've got 2 idols that people know about, and no chance to use them.
You know, going home as you do after like a hard fought battle, do you look back like there was something different that you could have done? Could you have been maybe targeting Sean, or do you feel like you played all the cards in the hand that you were dealt and there was nothing you could do?
I definitely felt like I played every single card I could have. And for me, there's only so many times. Like, we did try to pitch Sean to Dave. That wasn't happening. He just really wanted to break us up. And there's only so many times you can tell someone, like, hey, it would be really good for your game to vote out Dave. And you can't just keep on repeating yourself. At some stage, you just have to be like, okay, look, if they know what's good for them, they're going to come with me. But if not, I'm so proud of my game. Never once have I succumbed to people telling me what to do and doing it against my own will. So I was super proud of myself, and I just thought, meh, you've done everything you can.
Being closer to the end as you were now, if Sean had gone with you and you had gotten a majority here, had you thought more about how you would see your pathway to the end and who you would be sitting next to if you could get there?
Yeah, so after we voted out Dave, I told Sean that she can choose either Brooke or AK, and I'm happy to let them go at this stage. But I just wanted Dave out because he is the number one threat here. And then I didn't want to go up. I mean, I was a little bit hesitant about going up against AK, only because he's such a great speaker at Tribal Council, that I was like, oh man, like, public speaking is not my forte. And I feel like I really tried to emphasize that at Tribal Council. And I even told people like, oh, I think I'd really struggle in my end speech because I'm not good at public speaking, thinking that that could kind of keep me around. But I would have went up against anyone. I feel like, you know, I had used an idol correctly. I came back from exile. People tried to vote me out as a challenge, a challenge for that I was weak. And then all of a sudden I'm like winning challenges. So I definitely felt positive. I would have loved to go up against Sean, and I could have been like, yeah, you guys underestimated me, because it's expected that Sean's been here before. She knows how to get to the end. She's done this. But she is a challenge beast. She is super, like, she's amazing. But what you didn't expect, you expected her to get here, but you didn't expect me to get here.
Well, yeah, I mean, let's talk about being on the jury and the options in front of you. Because, you know, I've spoken to Dave, who wasn't on the jury, I've spoken to Nick, who wasn't on the jury. So I want to get your take on some of these matchups. So if it had been Mo versus Shine, who do you think would have won in the end?
I would have voted for Mo, but I think Shine would have won.
Which votes do you think Shine would be getting?
Okay, I think Shine would be getting Jackie. It's hard actually. Oh God, she would be getting. Shine would be getting. Oh my God, it's so hard because they both really. Oh, okay. I would have voted for Mo. I think Brooke would have voted for maybe Mo. Mm-hmm. I think AK 100% would have voted for Shine. Lockie would have voted for Shine. Tarzan would have voted for Mo. Maybe Zach would have voted for Mo, actually. Maybe.
So that leaves Harry and Dave.
Yeah. I don't know.
We are going to talk to Harry. But it does seem like it would have been pretty close because if Harry is voting for Shine, but I mean, if Dave's voting for Mo, which I think he probably would have, it does seem like Mo would have had the numbers in a 5-4 or 6-3, even if Shine's getting AK and Lockie and Jackie.
Yeah. Yes, actually, I guess Mo would have won against Shine. That's why I don't get why Mo was so about weakening Dave instead of just taking him out and giving herself a better shot.
What about Mo or Shine versus Tarzan? Just, is there anyone Tarzan could have beaten?
Tarzan wouldn't have won against anyone.
Okay.
No way.
What about Dave versus anyone? Is there anyone Dave could have lost to, do you think?
I think I did have a really good resume. So I feel like I could have come the closest. But I didn't know that Dave had two idols that he couldn't use. I didn't know that he was the mole. But I feel like if anyone was going to come close to Dave, it could have been me. I think someone said the other day, like, Mo would have won against Dave. She definitely wouldn't have. I think she would have got maybe one vote from Shine, potentially. And I think Tarzan, well, in his exit stuff, Tarzan said that Dave was his closest ally. So I can picture Dave. And then 100% everyone else would have voted for Dave. And it's just because Dave is just, it's insane how good he is. Like, how could you not vote for him?
What was the general sentiment at the jury? Like, was there anyone that people were, like, particularly rooting for or particularly rooting against when, before, you know, you'd actually got into the final two?
I think a lot of people, well, I guess we were kind of, like, once I got out, obviously I was voting for AK and Brooke, but I was also rooting for Dave because I'm like, that's amazing. Like, I've got no idea how he's doing this. And we were all like, we all wanted to see like a really great player win. So I think a lot of us were really backing Dave in the jury just because it would be like, when does a massive like alpha male ever win? It was like a challenge-based, strategic, social, like, yeah, we were all backing him. And I think a lot of people felt like hard done by Shine, just like kind of like, what? Why did you have to do that? And then I think Mo didn't have very good jury management. So I feel like she definitely would have struggled with votes as well.
You get to the final tribal council, you ask Shine about kind of her behavior because you didn't vote for Shine before. You're the first person ever who has not voted for the same person to win twice.
On both of my seasons, Shine has kept in the person who goes on to win both times instead of me.
Yes.
She could have voted out Shane with me and she didn't. Shane won. She could have voted out Dave instead of me and Dave won. So that's also like another record.
You said that you would have voted for Mo over Shane, so it seems like that she wasn't ever getting your vote. Did some of that work into it? The fact that you were like, look, I told you before, I wouldn't be voting for you again if you did the same thing. Or was it just like you just didn't respect this game in isolation?
I feel like, look, Shane probably did deserve to win in our first season. But it didn't happen. And then I feel like this season her game was just, I didn't understand. I felt like she did not improve her game this time, but merely, and I know that it's like all behind the scenes, cohesive mouse, blah, blah, blah. But I wasn't going to be voting for someone when I had the option of voting for someone who actually physically saw them like leading it. So, yeah. I feel like Sian didn't really take any risk. She always was just so worried about self-preservation, actually getting to the end. But then you get to the end and then all you've got to say is that you didn't ruin some moves and that you played a quiet game. I feel like that was never going to be impressive on an All-Stars, you know, season.
Yeah, we're going to get to the questions, but Jason Gates, who is my brother slash intern, asked, were you closer to voting for Sian in season 3 or season 5?
I was definitely closer to voting for Sian in season 3. I was really tossing up. But some of the things that I can't remember if they played it or not, but basically Sian said that she cared about the title and not the money. And then Shane said, like, $500,000 is a lot of money. I'm going to use the money and do some, like, child drowning prevention work in Fiji. It would mean a lot to me. Blah, blah, blah. So for someone to kind of disrespect $500,000 like it was nothing and that they just care about the title, that was like part of the reason that I was like, well, actually, you can't have just the title. The title comes with money. And if you're going to sit there and tell me that you don't care about $500,000 to my face and when all I want is like a house deposit, then that's going to shame.
Yeah. I mean, well, if you're tossing it up, it definitely felt closer because it seems like Sian just could not get your vote in the season. I mean, she did say to you that she would go with you and that, you know, when you didn't go to Rock, she promised herself to you guys and then turned back on it and you were true to your word and not voting for her.
Yeah. If she made a big move after me and moved and then voted me and then Dave out, then I would have understood that more. But because she didn't, I feel like, oh, well, what is, like, I'd rather just vote for Dave.
Very fair. Well, you know, you get back after having played All-Stars. You've played some of the most days ever for 2 seasons, having come 4th and 7th. What was it like coming back and just kind of like recuperating from that experience?
I feel like I'm really resilient in real life as well. So I feel like for me, it's really quite easy. Even when I got to Jury Villa, I wasn't like gorging on food. I was just kind of like normal right away. And then I flew into London on Saturday and then I went back to work on Monday. And I feel like for me, Survivor is just like a little part of my life. Like even now, some people from All Stars really struggle with the whole thing, but I don't know, I guess I'm just like, meh, it's done, it's over, move on.
Well, in terms of like you being a part of it, we get to the preseason, we get to the marketing where some people weren't, you know, announced, including you, even though you were such a big character in your first season, you're going to be such a big character on this season. And people were up in arms about this, I think rightly so, that you weren't named as part of the cast. So what was your reaction to all of the Shantan stuff, to JLP, you know, putting up these photos of you? What was your reaction to that?
Oh my God, I felt so, so, so loved. Like every day I'm like, oh my God, I love all these sweet cherubs. But it was definitely annoying having to wait and just like so many people asking me all the time, being tagged in all of this stuff, and then just not being able to say anything about it. I mean, I'm pretty sure like half of the world knew anyway.
Well, were you sending JLP photos of you or was he sourcing those photos himself?
I was not sending photos to JLP, no. I was just like, yay, what's like the event, like the Shantan event calendar going to be today? But yeah, I definitely looked forward to JLP's little pictures. But yeah.
What was your experience watching it back? Obviously seeing your moves, I think like given a really good, you know, clear view in the edit, which is great to see because often, obviously sometimes they can't really show that social game, but I think they show yours really well. Was there anything that like was you didn't like seeing or that you thought that they really that didn't portray well, or were you like very happy with the way that you were watching it?
I mean, I was quite happy. Like I can't really be bothered to like complain because it's not like a Shawnee show. They have so many people that they need to put in there. And also I understand that this isn't a documentary. It's for entertainment. So of course you're going to be like, oh, why didn't they show that? But it's for entertainment purposes. So yeah, it's not a documentary. So I feel like I was just like, whatever.
What has been your reaction to the support throughout and since the season? Like we saw at Mardi Gras and people dressing up as you, which was amazing. Like, I think it's really become quite iconic. What you brought to the table. So what has been your reaction to that?
I know. My reaction was actually like, I can't believe the show would not budge because they didn't care if I was going to come on it or not. And then look at them. Like, I felt like I was the backbone of that season. So I kind of just like was like laughing, like, oh, look at me now. Now, like, would they be giving me what I wanted?
Yeah, I mean, social media as well, definitely. Your Twitter absolutely loves you. You've got support on Instagram as well. In terms of, like, the social media support, what's that been like?
I just can't believe, like, even, like, last night at, like, 9:30, I got, like, the nicest message from someone being like, hey, Shawnee, like, even watching your Instagram stories and how you are on Instagram, I just want to thank you for being yourself. Like, I love that you are just who you are without trying to be like, hey, I don't know, like, I guess I am just unapologetically myself, and I guess people appreciate that. Like, sometimes I upload some really random stuff, but then I end up getting so many messages like, yes, love this. Oh, love that you're wearing that shirt 3 days in a row. Woo.
Yeah, I mean, who hasn't worn this shirt 3 days in a row? Like, we're in isolation. Like, what else are we meant to be doing? I have to say that something that happened in your social media was, like, the biggest laugh I've had in lockdown. I think you know what I'm talking about. In terms of a comment you got after the finale, which accused you of spoiling the show before it aired. Do you want to tell the story?
That was so funny. Okay, I looked at that for, like, 2 days in a row, crying of laughter. So basically, the part where Jonathan says, okay, so jury, tomorrow night you'll be back and we will listen to Dave and Sean's pitch and find out who is going to be the sole survivor of Australian All-Stars. Anyway, two people took this to turn off their TV and then thinking that they were going to be coming back tomorrow night, that Jonathan wasn't talking to us, but he was talking to the viewers. Anyway, so they literally turned off their TVs. And then I waited until it had been announced in Queensland, because I knew that I would have Karen being like, oh my God, it's not even live in Queensland yet. So I waited until I had watched it air. And then I posted a thing like, congratulations, Dave, blah, blah, blah. And then two people are like, I can't believe you've spoiled this for us. Why would you spoil it one day early? And I was so confused. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm in Queensland right now and I just watched the finale. And they're like, no, it's not. In Brisbane, we only watched Mo get voted out tonight, and then we're going to watch the winner tomorrow night. And they were fully, like, blowing up at me. And then, like, heaps of cute little sweet cherubs came in and were like, guys, no, back off. She didn't spoil anything. Like, you guys turned off the TV halfway through the episode. And I'm just shocked that there was actually two people that did this.
Yeah, I mean, this was honestly, I was like, I don't know how I found this thread, but I'm like reading through this thread, which, like, there was a lot of confusion because these people are saying, like, hey, maybe in Sydney and Melbourne it was tonight, but in Brisbane we only got up to Mo going. And you're like, I'm in Queensland. Like, that that definitely isn't what happened. It was so confusing until people put two and two together that Jonathan had said the magic words, we will come back tomorrow night where the jury will plead their case. And they were like, see you tomorrow night. And they turned the TV off, got on Instagram an hour or so later, and you had said that David won. And they were like, what in the hell? You've ruined the show for us. A show that was currently airing in their state, but that they had turned off because Jonathan.
I know.
And one of the people was like, I'm sure a lot of people made this mistake. And I'm like, did they? Because that would crush my heart if that were true.
I just laugh, like, thinking, imagine being like, oh my God, I'm so excited for tomorrow night so that I can find out who the winner is. Meanwhile, you're like drinking your chamomile tea, getting ready for bed, and the winner is currently playing live. I don't get it.
They weren't nearly apologetic enough, I think, when they found out that they'd been wrong. And one of the women was, like, going through all the other comments and being like, someone was like, oh, Shawnee, you're so great. You should have, like, your own TV show. And they're like, oh, yes. She's so great when she spoils the show a day early. And then was, like, definitively proven wrong. And, like, where was the apology, I have to say?
Someone else was like, oh, Shawnee, you should do a podcast. And then she wrote, what, so she can talk about the winner before it airs? And I'm like, can you, like, get off my case? Like, you are... like, you're the one in the wrong here. But yeah, a little apology wouldn't have went astray. If you're listening to this, lady, I expect a DM, an apology. But just because you're silly and I'm not.
This is some of my favorite things. Firstly, like, I have a whole thing about people thinking the internet shouldn't spoil things for them. Obviously, like, if it hasn't happened, that's a spoiler, that's terrible. But if it's aired and you go on social media, like, that's on you. And, like, totally. I hate when people are like, you spoiled me. I'm like, no, you spoiled you. Also, we have a thing on this podcast network, on a podcast that two of my friends run, the RHAP B&B, where they have a segment called Casuals Corner, where they go through and find hilarious casual comments from US Survivor of people who think things like it's being filmed live and, like, ridiculous things like this. And I think that them turning off the TV when Jonathan was like, see you tomorrow night, is one of my favorite Slovenia comments of all time.
That belongs in there.
Oh, so good. I messaged you being like, I am crying laughing. Like, because there were so many comments where they were like, you know, people were trying to work out how it was airing in Brisbane the next day, but you'd already watched it. And it was like, we should have just known that they literally listened to Jonathan. It cut to an ad break and they were like, show's over. Amazing stuff.
Yeah, show's over. So funny. I just can't believe it.
So good. I encourage everyone to find that thread. It's literally as funny as we are describing. Okay, well, we have so many questions from the listeners, but first I will take a quick break to hear from our sponsors.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
And we are back. All right, Shawnee, these questions from the listeners, we got them on Instagram. We got them on Twitter. We got them on Facebook and in the Facebook patron group. So many questions for you. Firstly, Gabriel was asked, Queen Shawnee, coming into the game, what was your plan to get through the super physical first half of Australian Survivor? And what advice can you give to future players like yourself to overcome that and go deep like you have twice?
I mean, it's hard to say because it is hard because now that there's like so many Olympians and champions and stuff, like it's hard for me, I guess, because I don't see myself as a weak person. So I rock up to a challenge and I'm like, yeah, of course I can do this. It's fine. So I guess you just got to believe in yourself. And then I guess you can like try and train and stuff, but that's a shit answer.
Survivor Reddit says no question, but just tell her she's an icon. And a lot of people like that. It got like 60 something likes. So I felt like it needed voice. Twitter loves you, Shawnee. You need to be on Twitter more often than you are.
I know I need to. I had a break because I saw that like, someone was like, oh, what did they say? Something like, oh, I bet Shawnee was standing on the sand when she was holding up the ball challenge. And then I just like, someone was obviously like defending me, but I must follow them. And I was just like annoyed at like, oh, every time I win something, it's like, oh, Shawnee's standing up. Shawnee's not swimming. Oh, Shawnee's blocks were already glued together. Like, I don't know. I just felt like I just wanted a break because I was sick of accidentally seeing like, a couple of annoying people thinking that just because I do something and I'm not a massive physical person that I must be cheating. But I will come back now that it's over.
Shawnee, I have to say that the show is rigging the game for you to win immunity challenges is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And I literally just told a story about someone who turned the TV off when JLP said, see you tomorrow night. So like, it's a low bar and that is that dumb. Please don't listen to those stupid comments.
No, I don't. But it's like, even when Brooke won something and then they were like, oh, that challenge was for her, they're rigging it for Brooke, why can't they just let it go like organically? And I'm like, are you serious? Like, we literally plan these challenges out so far in advance, like days before. They can't build these challenges like that. Like, people are there building 6 weeks before we even get there. Like, people, they have a schedule. They don't just make something up and be like, what is Brooke going to win? Okay, cool. So we'll just build this massive thing. But then, like, if a guy wins loads, no one will ever say anything about that. But it's just if, like, a girl wins, then they'll, like, have a problem with it.
That is truly terrible. Like, I mean, those comments really don't even deserve voice. We should just completely not pay attention to. There's so many things that are wrong about that that there's no point even trying to get into the minds of people who think that they are rigging it for you and Brooke. I mean, I guess they think that the show must really love you and Brooke, so that's a compliment.
Yeah, but it's funny knowing that, I guess they probably won't listen to this, but knowing that the show didn't care if I was coming or not, and then all of a sudden they're like trying to, oh, here, Shawnee, stand on a mountain and don't swim because now we've all of a sudden really need you. Like, they never thought they needed me.
Well, it is funny because the show, I don't think the show is rigging it, but like the show wants Dave to win. Like, I can tell you that for free. Like, the show loves Dave. They were very happy about that. Not that they didn't love you and give you a great edit as well.
Yeah,
but like,
yeah.
In what world are they like, ooh, we're going to like rig it against Dave for his enemies? Like, obviously there were twists that helped, you know, Exile, I think, helped you guys to a degree and helped Dave, who had an idol. And these twists come in and do throw a spanner in the works, but I don't see them like literally are like, okay, well, Dave will have to tread water. And Shawnee will stand on the sand. And also, if you're watching the show and you think they're reading it to that degree where they're cheating in challenges, you don't like Survivor and you should actually turn the show off.
Yeah. There was like something else really funny. Oh, it was something about, you know, when Brooke did that thing, how she had to like step through the puzzle that bangs and then your puzzle pieces fell off. I literally saw something come up that someone had wrote that a producer was holding on to Brooke's one so that she could bump it. I'm like, are you that dumb that you think the rest of the contestants are going to be standing there watching someone hold Brooke's puzzle for her and not do anything about it? Like, what? In what? Like, just, yeah, mind-blowing.
Well, it's, yeah, look, people ask me sometimes, do you think the show is rigged? It's like, no, because I'm not, like, I'm obviously not devoting my life to something I think is cheating. But also, like, look at the fact that Matt Rogers, who is one of the biggest characters and someone they would love to have on for longer, goes before the merge, and they actually have the capacity to put an idol there for him or to swap and to help him, and they don't even do that. So, like, yeah. I'm not saying that the show is perfect. I'm not saying that there's, like, not an agenda sometimes, but I don't think that they're definitely not rigging challenges, and they probably could stand to rig things a little bit more if it's going in a certain direction, which they didn't do oftentimes in the season.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't get these comments. We spent too long talking about some of these comments. Tyler Atchison asks, what were some of your favorite new words and phrases from the dictionary?
Oh my God. I loved Ishonic.
Yes.
I'm really into isolation as well now. and then like imagination. I liked that as well. I feel like I needed to like write them down. Oh, I did like a post of something the other day and someone said shoga, like Shawnee yoga, which I thought was funny. But I literally like, I love all everyone so much. These people like spending their time to write cute little comments and be creative with it. I have an obsession.
Well, as someone who watched a couple of episodes before Isolation with Dylan Conrad from Survivor New Zealand, who made up many of these terms, I'm watching him live tweet as the show was going and coming up with these terms. It's like he speaks fluent Shawnee. Like he thinks of the Sean word before he thinks of the actual word, and it's actually amazing to watch in action.
So good. Action, I love sorry. Him. Action, yes.
Your word, your name goes way too well with so many words.
I know. Thank you, Coco and Dad.
So Christine Radif asks, where can we buy a dress like that? We talked about this a bit on the exit interview. People want to know where we can get the dress.
So I actually filmed like a whole segment on this on my Insta because I was just getting so many messages every day. So I do not, as much as I'm like portrayed as like a shopping girl in my intros, I literally hardly ever buy clothes. So I've had that dress probably for like maybe 4 to 5 years. I got it from ASOS, but I told people that if they want to like go onto ASOS and type in like red wrap tea dress and then something similar will come up. But that one is super old.
Yeah, we got a lot of questions about your fashion choices. Jason Arach asked, why didn't you wear the sunglasses into Tribal Council? They were fierce.
I wasn't allowed to. I wasn't allowed to wear them. I could basically only wear them when I was lounging around camp. I couldn't wear them throughout chatting. I couldn't wear them to challenges. Rules and regulations.
I do think getting your torch snuffed with the sunnies on would have been unbelievable.
Oh my God, I should have just done that because actually I could have put them on. Like, they're not like they're going to, oh, they probably would interrupt actually, but like, because you know, like when Jonathan goes off to vote, count the votes, and he's literally gone for about half an hour, and we all get like so bored. This is where I think they get most of our facial expressions from, our like, ugh, ones. But like, if you get distracted, someone will literally yell like, stare into the fire, eyes in fire, straight, sit it up straight. So I feel like they would, if I pulled out my sunglasses just about as I'm getting evicted, they'd be like, Shawnee, sit back down, take them off, confiscated.
I just imagine.
Confiscation.
Yeah, confiscation of the sunglasses. Like, I feel like Just imagine if Jonathan's snuffing your torch and you're just looking at him like you don't care with those sunnies on, would have just been, it would have been the best moment of the season.
Do the rude finger on my way out, like, what up?
Yeah, everything could have been made better, I think, while wearing those sunglasses. Sunglasses.
Definitely.
Sorry. I might keep calling them sunglasses when that's not what they
ridiculous.
Are. Connor Hawershin asks, who are you most disappointed to see was not on the cast?
Sarah Tilke. I never know how to pronounce her name. I think that's like the first time I've said it out loud. Tilke, can you say?
Mm-hmm.
What did I say? Tilke?
I don't know what you said. It wasn't right.
Okay, whatever. Sarah Tilke. Tilke? Yeah.
I don't know.
I 100% thought she would be there. Like, and you know that I asked her, and she actually was never even asked, which I thought was mind-blowing, because I thought, like, oh, maybe they must have asked her, and then she had to turn it down because we don't get the same things that other people get, us normal folk. But she literally said that she did not get asked.
Yeah, that is crazy to me. I have spoken about it many times, but how did they not ask Sarah? I would have loved to see you guys link up somewhere in the season.
Same. I would have been scared of her, but I would have loved to play with her, and I 100% thought she was going to be there.
Final question that we have, Felipe Shimon asked, what did Fenella think of Shawnee's game and how much did Shawnee miss her?
Fenella loved my game. So basically when I got evicted, you're allowed to call your family members and they have this like burner phone with your allocated family numbers. Anyway, I called my sister and I got my sister to DM Fen and then for my sister to tell me Fen's number. And then I hung up, called Fen from Drury Villa and basically just like told her everything. And she was very impressed. I missed her a lot. So many times, like, Fenella is literally like one of the funniest. Okay, so I say that if I was ever forced to like start life over and have someone else's personality, I would choose either Nick's personality or Fenella's personality because they're just like the best, funnest, like most amazing people to be around. So there's so many times where I just missed her and wished she was there, but she was stoked in my game. She thought it was hilarious. But yeah, she had better things to do.
Yeah, you definitely come out of the game with, like, some great allies and relationships, so that's always really great.
Totally.
Well, Shawnee, thank you so much for coming on to chat about your whole game. It's been so much fun to chat with you about, you know, your game and everything beyond it as well. Where can people find you on social media to follow what you are doing out in the world?
The Shontent continues on. It's Shawnee Fairfax. And, yeah, I do snack reports, just a lot of... My whole Instagram is based around things that could probably be a story, but I turn them into an actual grid post.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's stuff in the works. Did I hear like a podcast or something? Like what is there some content coming out, some Shontent?
Yeah. So Fenella and I have finally started a podcast. I feel like people have been saying this for so long. And one day I thought, how hard is it? Like what, we record a phone call? Like we already talk on the phone anyway. And I'm pretty sure it was Nick that was, I had just hung up from Fen and then I was talking to Nick. He was like, oh my God, I would love to like be a fly on the wall for your conversations. And then we just decided we may as well give it a crack. So our podcast is coming out, we think on Wednesday.
Okay. What's it called?
It's called Just Shawnee Thinks. I've sent it to a couple of my friends and I've got I sent it to my rudest friends, but I've got some pretty good feedback. But I'm just unsure. I don't know. Yeah, the sass levels. but yeah, got that. And then, yeah, just on Instagram, just chilling.
That sounds amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming on. You guys can follow me at Shannon Gates on Twitter and Instagram and subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed to make sure you never miss any of this content. We already have, obviously, the Dave deep dive and the Nick deep dive. Next will be Sean and then Harry and I think AK. So the deep dives are continuing on for this season. I'm also discussing US Survivor, Winners at War, which I did this week with my brother/intern Jason, which has been so fun. Thank you for all the feedback we've received on that. We really, really enjoyed doing that. And even this morning, this is actually my second podcast today. This morning I was talking about Schitt's Creek. I usually talk about Survivor, but I jumped into the scripted show content on post-show recaps today to talk about a bit of a series overview with Mike Bloom. So a lot of content coming out. Make sure you follow me so you don't miss any of that. But Shawnee, thank you so much again for coming on. It was great to talk to you.
Thanks for having me, Shannon.
It's been super fun. So fun. Got the Shontent out there. I hope people's Shontent is satisfied for what they want. Hope it's been iconic in their isolation. I don't know how many more of these I can do.
You're doing great.
I'm going to speak in fluent Shawnee for the rest of the day, I think.
It's fashion.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you again, Shawnee. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we will see you on the next deep dive. Bye.
Australian survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Gwyneth Middle.
Gwyneth Swamalais.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shkeli.
Aldi. Million rubli.
Tribe
spoke. Tribe spoke. Tribe
spoke.
Tribe spoke.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.